Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's weekly live Authentic Persuasion training session. My name again is Jason Cutter. If you're new here, welcome. So excited. We've got people tuning in via the Zoom webinar link if you want to be using that. Also here on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on YouTube live. So glad to see people who where I'm checking it at on the various places while doing this at the same time. Welcome. If you're new here, please like, please share this so that other people can see it in your network. And then also leave a comment, say hello. Let me know where you're coming in from. Today's session is going to be a little bit different. I think it'll be fun. I'm excited for this one and the value, what it's going to have, different than what I've been doing. If you're a regular visitor, welcome. Welcome back. So glad that you're here. And hopefully there'll be some fun value for you. For everyone tuning in, just to set the expectation, my goal in these sessions is to give as much value as I can, to give what I know and what I've learned and what I understand of sales, selling, authentic persuasion. Obviously, from the book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker, that I published a few years ago, and to help improve the way sales is done. And when I say improve it, that means that it's broken and it needs to be fixed. And that's fundamentally true, right? I think most people would agree that the way that generally people try to sell is not effective. And either they're at one end of the spectrum, which is the old school manipulation, almost snake oil salesperson, used car salesperson mode, which it works, it gets some results. It can, you can fool some of the people some of the time, right? Like it works, but it's not what people want. It's not what we all enjoy as consumers. It's not really the best way to go if you want to have a sales professional career long-term, where you don't have to run and hide. You don't have to change industries. You don't have to change whatever. Like there's that mode. And then at the other end of the spectrum, because people think that's what it takes to be successful in sales, is order takers, people who are nice, they're friendly, they build great rapport, they ask great questions, they actually care about people, they want to help people. And from that position, they're in sales, but they're not effective because they're hoping the other person will make the first move, right? Like if I just say the right things, they're going to want to buy from me. Most people want to buy, they don't want to be sold to, and in that kind of mantra, except taken too far where you're just sitting back, you're passive, you're hoping, you're waiting. And that's also not effective. So when I talk about improving it, those are the extremes that I see where it is broken. It's not effective. It either alienates and potential customers or just feels gross, or it's just not effective. And it's not leading to consistent, predictable, scalable results for you as a salesperson or for your team or your company, whatever that might look like. And so my goal is to help improve the way sales is done, mostly from a mindset standpoint. Yes, there's tacticals, there's strategies, there's things you can do. Most of it's mindset. Most of it is about your mindset as a salesperson and what that involves, how you get out of your own way in some areas, how you help other people get out of their way and out of their comfort zone, like I've talked about in the other sessions. And so that's why I do this, to help facilitate transformation in whatever way I can by helping you embrace what sales means and what you can do to become a sales professional using things like authentic persuasion to help
the people that you are selling to see it as service, to realize that sales is something you're doing for somebody and with somebody, not to them. Because the people who are selling like they're doing something to somebody, those are the ones that make our skin crawl, make my skin crawl when I encounter them. And I'm just like, this doesn't work. I know what you're doing. You're doing this to me and you don't really care what happens to me. And I think that's what prevents a lot of people from thinking they can be effective in sales, is because they think that's the only way to win. And I completely disagree. So if you're new here, that's the framework. That's why I do what I do. That's what I'm focused on. And I'm so glad you're here. So today, like I said, it's going to be a little different. Last week in the session, I talked about what happens when they don't buy and then what happens, right? Like they don't want to buy now. What can you do in the follow-up, in the moment? How do you move that forward? This time, instead of doing a standard session where I've got a topic and I'm going to focus on it, I'm going to drill on it, I thought I get questions all the time. I see questions all the time online in different forums and different groups. I do training sessions with different teams and I get questions. Sometimes it's the same questions and I try to address those before they even come up in the training. Sometimes it's new things like I hadn't thought about. Sometimes it's just reminders of where people might be at in their career or in their sales process where they're worried about or thinking about these things. And it's reminding me of that. So what I want to do was a session where I'm going through questions that I have received or seen recently. This isn't even just recently. And I want to address those. I want to go through them and then answer them best I can and give you some context, some information about that, something you can use if that resonates with you. So should be fun. A lot of times when I do these Q&A sessions, people can relate to a question or two or understand or have that same experience or in that same place. Or if you lead a team or run a team, maybe you have some people on your team where you're like, yeah, that's Bob. Bob does that. And this is great because now I can use it. So let's go ahead and dive in. So I'm going to read off the questions here that I've got relative to authentic persuasion and obviously the kind of stuff that I talk about and focus on. So first question here. Will people want to buy from me if I am my real self? So will people want to buy from me if I am my real self? I get this a lot when I'm talking about authenticity and the authentic persuasion side. And people who read through the book, they go through the first section, which is about authenticity prior to the persuasion and prior to the third section, which is about the intangibles. And there's times where people go, well, are people going to want to buy from me if I'm authentic? If I make these kind of jokes or I say these kind of things, or I'm not perfectly polished, or, you know, I like this one thing and maybe this. I see that a lot too, where people who get into sales, their experience is of a salesperson who talks about sports, talks about this, talks about that. And I've dealt with many salespeople over the years who are like, I don't care about that stuff, or I don't know anything about sports, or I don't know anything about car. Like they think there's this like template of what you have to talk about in the rapport phase in order to be effective at rapport. And what I always teach people and tell people and encourage them to do is just be yourself. If you don't know anything about sports, please don't try to talk about it, because if they know about sports, you're going to look worse for pretending about it. You can be curious, but don't try to know those things. Here is the deal. People want you and your authentic self. And I would take it one step further and say that people actually crave you and your authentic self. What they want more than anything is to know that you are a human like them and that you care about them and what it is that they're faced against, up against, what they're dealing with, what their goals are, what their hopes are, what they want for their future, right? Because anything that somebody is going to buy is about making a change. It's what we've talked about so many times on this program and these training, is that to buy something new that somebody has never owned before, not just replacing the one they've already got, but they're buying something new, means it's change. Change requires somebody to get outside of their comfort zone. You want to go have a dinner tonight at a different restaurant that you've never been at. That is a change and it's outside your comfort zone. Now, it's not a very big risk It's not a very big, dangerous change, especially if it's a type of food that you know, right? Like, I love Mexican food. I will, any day, any night of the week, I am down for Mexican food and a giant burrito. That's literally my go-to. So if it's a new Mexican place, that's not a very big stretch for me, right? It may or may not work. If it doesn't work, I just know not to do that again. It's not a big deal. For your customers, for them to buy, it requires change and they're in their comfort zone. What they want to know is that you care about them enough to help them. They want to see that authentic side of you. Now, here is the caveat. Here's the balance, is that you've got to make sure that it's the balance between professional and authentic and transparent. Depending on what you're selling, depending on the environment, depending on who your clientele is, you want to be yourself within the confines of what is professional and what the company represents as well. And there's a balance there, right? If anybody's familiar with Gary Vee, what's interesting is if you listen to Gary Vee content, he swears a lot. When he is just being Gary Vaynerchuk in any unconstrained situation, he's just swearing nonstop. If you hear him, he actually, when he does presentations for certain groups or he knows who the audience is in the context of where he's at, he tones it down. He stops it completely or is aware of it and tries not to do that just so that it's appropriate for the audience and not do that. It's not, doesn't mean that's not, he's not being his authentic true self. It just means that he's adjusting it basically for the audience. So you want to find that balance. And I know some people out there who do coaching and they do mastermind groups and they are just wild and crazy and they don't care. And they're at a point where they don't care and they're happy being polarizing where they're transparent. This one guy in particular, he said, I love transparency as the word because you know, when you meet him, when you talk to him, you know exactly what you're going to get and you either like it or you don't. And I think that's important. It takes a lot of confidence. It takes a lot of confidence to be authentic and transparent in these conversations. And think of these scenarios, right? I'm thinking of anybody who might be listening to this that's in a sales role in any vertical, in any industry. You could be selling furniture in a retail store. You could be in a call center helping someone with their deregulated energy decisions. You could be selling B2B SaaS. Doesn't matter. I'm thinking of that person where they're like, hey, the prospect says, hey, did you see the game last night? Are you watching right now? It's NBA playoffs. Did you watch the playoff game last night? A lot of people in sales, they're afraid to say no because they don't want that person to not like them. But it takes a strong person, a confident person, and a very authentic person to say, no, I don't follow basketball, right? I'm not into that. And to be okay with that. And people will appreciate it. If somebody needs you to be a basketball fan for them to like you enough to buy from you, then my question and my challenge would be is, are you just an order taker for them, or is it actually something valuable that you're providing? Because if it's truly valuable, if it's something you can help them with and they see you as a professional, sports, weather, location, restaurants, food, politics, religion, none of that stuff should come into play if you are a valued professional, right? If you do the you know, Bob Berg mode, which is all things being equal, people will buy from people they know, like, and trust. That's important, but that's not the whole thing. So remember that. Be your real self in the confines of your business and professional realm that you're working in, and focus on that, and people will like it. If you mess up, if you stutter, if you use the wrong words every once in a while, you ramble on, you tell some stories, like, there's a certain point where you got to make sure it's professional and you're efficient and effective with your sales conversations, but be you. People will like that. Remember, it's not B2B, business to business. It's not B2C, business to consumer. It's H to H. It's human to human. You're dealing with another human, scared, excited, worried. They have hopes. They have goals. They have dreams. They have trauma. They have baggage. They have all these things that keep them up at night, things that they're dealing with that they have behind the scenes. And so they just want somebody real to help them. At least that's my experience and my opinion. So that's the first one. All right. Question number two. How can I be authentic while using a script? And A, I love this question, and B, it also kind of triggers me because of this whole debate and issue when it comes to scripts. There is something pervasive in the world of people who get into sales because they see that as the best and or only career choice for them, right? There's the people out there who say, I'm going to go into sales because I'm really good at talking myself into or out of situations. I don't really like a lot of structure. I want to be able to make a lot of money or as much money as I want based on the effort that I'm putting into it, right? And have more upside potential. So I'm going to get into sales. I'm going to sell things. I'm good at persuade. I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at X, Y, and Z, right? These standard natural born, which is another debate for another time, even I've mentioned it on the show before, is that natural born salesperson characteristics, and then they go into sales. One of the things that's a common trait with that group of people is the tendency to not like a lot of structure and accountability and things like that. Some of it is the ego that's involved. There's an ego that we all have an ego, but there's an ego with someone who says, I am good at X, just let me do X. Don't try to put any parameters around it. And they just want to do that thing. Now, that's why in the book, when I wrote about the sales success traits and making yourself into a sales professional, not just a salesperson, but a sales professional, I talked about the five traits. The first two are the most important, which is openness and curiosity, which there's another question on this list I'm going to get to about that. But openness and curiosity are so important because if you have those traits, you're going to be open to new things. You're going to be curious about your customers. And if it's a script, if it's a process, whatever it is, you're going to be open to it. So when I hear people resist a script, it's because they're closed-minded. It's just what it is. There's either an ego involved or there's something involved that says, I don't want to use a script. I already know everything mode, right? And as a consultant and as a trainer and as a coach, when I hear that person, I just look at the numbers. Okay, great. Let's look at the numbers. Are you amazing? Are you amazing all the time? Never have a downtime, never hit a slump, maybe a little slump, which is just human. But otherwise, are you just amazingly, perpetually just doing well? The answer to that is always no. Always no from the people who are closed-minded. And if that's you, and this is triggering you and you want to leave some nasty comments in there, or if you want to send me an email, that's okay, right? Let's debate that. But if you're not amazingly consistent like a professional, then that probably means you're closed-minded. And if that's the case, then in those five success traits, the reason why I said making yourself into a sales professional is that you can just change that, become open-minded. Right? Become curious. And the reason why I say that is because a true professional, in my experience, is someone who is open-minded and they're curious and they're creative and they're persistent and they're authentic and they're open to new things. They're always striving for a better way. They want to find a better way. Hell, you have a script that works. Oh, you have a process that works. Oh, you have a voicemail that works better. Like, I want to use that because I just want to get better and better and better. And if we think about professionals in, let's say, the medical profession or professional athletes, professional speakers and presenters, they are always working on their craft. They are always working to get better. They want to be the best. And to me, that's the difference between a sales professional and a salesperson. And so when it comes to a script, this question here in particular just screams, I don't like scripts. Don't tell me what to do. I didn't like it when my parents told me what to do, and I don't want you to tell me what to do. That's why I got into sales, so that nobody would tell me what to do, right? That's just what it screams out. Some of that might resonate for some people out there. Some of that might not. Here is the deal. Here's the one thing I will say, and I don't have the link for it, but you can search for it. Victor Antonio made a video. I've got to look it up. I think it was probably 6-8 years ago, something like that. I think it's like 5 to 8 minute video you should be able to find on YouTube. Victor Antonio scripts. He says it amazing and I love it. So I'm going to give him credit for this because it's truly amazing. Is if you've ever been to a Broadway play, any kind of play, watched a movie, watched a TV show, it's all scripted. It's all the same over and over again. I've mentioned it many times on the show. I mentioned it on my other podcast. I mention it all the time. Scripts are not the problem. The person reading the script is the problem if the script sounds terrible. If it sounds robotic, if it sounds painful, that's the user, right? That's the actor of the one using the script. So the best way to make a script sound authentic is to make it you. And what's amazing is that if a script is written right, if it's written properly, it's written in a way that, of course, the script's going to be written from the person who writes it. I write scripts the way I talk. So when someone else reads it, it's going to sound like me talking, maybe not necessarily them. Best way to, when a script is written, is that it's universal, and then you can use that and say it in a way that's authentic for you. Now, it doesn't mean ad-libbing. It doesn't mean freestyling. Sometimes it means you read that script, but you make it you. You believe in it. If you believe in a script, you could read that script word for word and make it authentically you because you believe in it. When you watch a movie or a TV show, and you just see that actor in that role, they are reading a script. They've memorized it. That line, they did many takes. It's literally documented what they said, unless it's some kind of ad-libbing portion, which is very small in shows and movies. Otherwise, it's scripted, which means they played that part, which means they're acting in that part, but they believed it and they embodied it. And in that moment, that is authentic to them. I'm not saying pretend. I'm not saying act like a salesperson. I'm just saying have your script. If you believe in what you're selling, and if you believe and trust in your management, if they give you a script, believe in that script and make it yours, make it come from you. And you can read a script word for word and make it sound amazing. And it won't sound like it's being read by a disgruntled robot, which is what I've heard so many salespeople do with a script when they just are basically pouting and they don't want to read it and they don't want to be told what to do. Here's the thing. If the company is giving you a script, it's because they know what works and they have a feeling what works. If they know what works, remember, they're in business to make money, which means they would never lead you astray and tell you, use this thing that's going to cost us thousands of dollars a day by you failing. No, they're going to give you the best tools possible. And if you don't believe that company is giving you the best tools possible, just quit and find a different company that you think is actually looking out for your best interest. That's the other part. So anyway, here we are. We've gotten to two questions. We're like 22 minutes into the episode. Hopefully this is ringing true. Hopefully some value. Hopefully, I don't want it to trigger everybody. I don't want it to make you upset, but I do want to raise this awareness and go, okay. Or maybe again, you're leading a team and you keep rolling out scripts and you keep rolling out things. And you're like, why do they keep acting like this? This is literally why. And this is the framework and the conversations you want to have with them, which is, here's how this could work, right? If you're not successful with this, that's on you, right? Like, how can I help you? Or maybe they're just not the good, not the right fit. All right, let's keep going through these. Let's see how many we end up getting through. Question number three on the list. You say that I should assume the sale and use urgency to move it forward today. Won't that feel like a pushy salesperson? Again, you say that I should assume the sale and use urgency to move it forward today. Won't that feel like a pushy salesperson? Now, what this question and this person was referring to is the authentic persuasion pathway. And there's many sessions here. Go back through, check the replays. You can find the replays pretty much anywhere you found this. Wherever you're watching this, the replays are also in there. Easiest ways to find the replays, if you go to the YouTube channel, so the Jason Cutter, if you just search in there, if you just go to YouTube and search my name, you can find it pretty easy and click on the channel. You can see the replays in there of the previous sessions. It's also on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. If you're not tuning into that, make sure to subscribe and you can get these episodes as well on the podcast player that you use. And so this question is relative to the Authentic Persuasion pathway, which has five parts: rapport, empathy, trust, hope, and urgency. And I won't go into all the details now. You can check out those replays, but the point is that you're moving someone out of their comfort zone out to the outside, which is change, which is what you're hoping to affect and persuade them into buying something from you. Once you determine that it's a good fit, once you know that they have problem X or goal X and you have solution X, then it's game on about you versus their comfort zone, and you're going to move them out. The last step in that, the last stage, is always urgency. Now, what's pushy and gross is when salespeople use urgency early on, or they use it in the wrong way. So there's two things. One is they use it early on, which is they're going for the urgency. They're going for the buy now. They're going for the, what will it take for you to buy this today early in the process? And that is about them. And if they do it at the end like this and they go after those tactics, it's still about them. It's when urgency is used at the wrong time and with the wrong intention that makes it feel gross. What will it take for you to buy today before walking off the lot? Or the other one, see this a lot right now. It's the 29th. It's the last day of the month, right? What will it take for you to sign up today? The last day of the quarter, the last day of the quarter, last day of the month, last day of the week. You know, if I give you 10% off, will you sign up today? Like that now instantly is manipulation. It's bribing. Like I'm trying to bribe you to get an effect, and it's about me, right? When I do manipulation tactics to you, that's for my gain. I don't really care what happens to you, right? Persuasion is a little more, you know, it could go either way. Hopefully use it for good and not evil. Manipulation is clear. And so urgency when used wrong or the wrong intention is about me and wanting what I want. And now all of a sudden sales is something I'm doing to you, not for you and with you. Now, of course, it could benefit you as a result of it. This urgency, most likely it's not. Because if you're ready to go, you'd be ready to go. You don't need to be tricked. You don't need to be bribed. You don't need to be pushed. Like you don't need all those things. You would just be ready. Of course, if you're stuck, if you're in your comfort zone and you're not sure if you want to do it now and you have your fears and your doubts, as a sales professional, I want to address those. I don't need to bribe you to do it. I want to address the root cause, because here's the problem. If I bribe you with a discount today because it's the last day of the month, you're going to think about it all weekend. Then on Monday, I'm going to get a call or an email from you saying that you've decided to cancel, that you don't want to do it because all I did was buy the transaction and buy some time. I didn't actually address the root cause, right? That would be a doctor giving a prescription based on some symptoms, but not really looking for the cause of the issue and addressing the cause. Oh, you seem to be losing a lot of blood. Let me put a Band-Aid on this. Okay, good luck, right? We're not like, wait, why are we losing a lot of blood? How do we fix that? But a lot of salespeople do that. They think, okay, if I just give you 10% off, you'll do this thing. That's where urgency is used wrong. When it's done right, when it's the last step in the authentic persuasion pathway, what's happening is you've built up to that moment. You've identified their needs, their wants, their goals, their hopes, why they want or need what you have. You've presented them with the solution, which is based on what you told me. Here's what I think we should do. Here's what I see as the best solution. Here's what makes the most sense for you based on what you told me. And you have this, this, and this goal. So based on that, here's what we should do. Any questions on that? Does that make sense? Okay. Now, the next part is, or what we've got to do now is, or let's go ahead and get you set up now. Boom. Sometimes when that's done, that feels gross and pushy. You're like, wait a second, I'm not ready. But if you do the parts correctly and fully and in the right order of the authentic persuasion pathway, what happens is you're moving someone through all those stages where urgency is the last thing and it makes the most sense, right? Somebody is ready to go. Again, it's when it's done wrong, when it's done early or the wrong motivation that it feels gross. Remember, people are stuck in their comfort zone. That's why I use that image of the comfort zone where they are now and you want them on the outside. They want to be on the outside, but they're just afraid because outside is danger. Outside is change. In our primal side of our brain, in the amygdala, change equals death. It's the potential of death. So that's what's going on in their head. You've got to work them out of that process. Key and the reason why urgency is always important and today is always the right time to do something is that if you don't help them move outside of that comfort zone today, they will retreat back in there. They will put their head back in the sand. They will probably be grateful for not buying when they think about it in retrospect. They hang up with you and don't sign up today and they think about it tonight. They go, whew, that's a close one. I dodged a bullet. Who knows what would have happened if I had signed up for X, Y, and Z. Right? Like they actually grateful that side of their brain away. I'm glad I didn't make a change, right? That was close. And so that's what you're up against. If you don't move it forward to today. Now, of course, they'll come up with objections, issues. That's a whole nother conversation. And I talked about that in the urgency lesson, but the time is always now. For whatever that next step is, today is always the time, right? Maybe they've got to talk to their boss, or maybe you've got to schedule the next appointment, or maybe you need to get the application started, or maybe you literally just need the payment over the phone, or you need them to buy in front of you right now, or sign up for your insurance. Whatever that is, today is always the right time. Once you've identified the need and the wants, the goals, the desires, if you know that you can help them, the time is always now to help them. If they stop you, or they have an issue, or there's a delay, or there's an obstacle you have to overcome, not a objection, but an obstacle. They don't have the payment. They need the decision maker. They need to talk to their spouse, whatever. They need to sell something so that they can do this over here. I've seen it all. That's okay. That's where the creative side, right? Remember I talked early on about the 5 sales success traits. Creativity is number 3 in there, which is how do we come up with creative solutions? Just remember, today is always the day, right? Now is always the right time to move somebody forward. Once you know that you can help them, and then if they're going to stop you, they'll stop you. Otherwise, you just want to assume the sale. Like it says in the question, you say that I should assume the sale and use urgency to move it forward today. Won't that feel like a pushy salesperson? And no, for the same reason, you go to the doctor with a pain. The doctor identifies where the pain is coming from and the solution to help. And they say, all right, here is a prescription, or here is the procedure, or we need to do this. Any questions, right? They don't say, I have this prescription I can give to you. Do we want to wait till next month? Like, when would be a good time for you to start this prescription, right? When would be a good time for you to have this thing, right? And get this pain taken care of and fix your broken arm. Like, when are you really thinking? Like, when does that fit in? You know, what's your budget like? No, the time is now. You have a problem. They are a professional. They've identified it. The time is now, always now. Let's go. And if somebody stops you, that's fine. Your focus should be on now. And again, from the place of sales is something I'm doing for you and with you. Sales is service. I'm here to help you. If I'm going to help you and it's my duty to help you, then now is always the time. So I'm going to leave the episode here at this point. Got through 3 questions. I have a bunch more. I might continue these next week. If you have questions, if you have anything like these, please leave it in the comment. If you're watching this live or in the replay, feel free to leave a comment in there. Whatever platform, whether it's LinkedIn, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, even Instagram, if you're on there, make sure you can send me a direct message with any questions you have. And you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Email me your questions, sales-related questions, anything like that that you've got, let me know. If you want to see a copy of the Authentic Persuasion Pathway, the diagram I have that will help give you this guidance of what you could be doing in your conversations and how to move people out, again, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send you the visualization of what this looks like so you can have this, put it up in your wall and be like, all right, this is where I need to take people through in every conversation. Here's what Jason's talking about with the urgency, getting them out of their comfort zone, and then closing deals at scale and making yourself into a sales professional. So that's it for today. I appreciate everyone tuning in, everyone watching this live, watching the replays. Again, hit the like button wherever you're watching this on all the different platforms. If you're on YouTube watching this, make sure to subscribe so that you get these whenever they come out. I post a lot of other videos. If you're watching or listening to the podcast replay of this, make sure to subscribe to that so you get new episodes that come out, because I'm going to revamp my podcast. I'm going to put all my attention on the Authentic Persuasion Show and start putting a lot more episodes in there, longer ones, shorter ones, all kinds of things. So make sure if you listen to the podcast, subscribe to the Authentic Persuasion Show. But that's it. Hope everyone has a great rest of your April, and make it a great rest of your week. And I will catch you all next week. Thanks for tuning in.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.